getting very clear about the intention. I think that's part of it, but also to validate the impact. I think a lot of the time leaders believe or assume they know the real problem, and what we've realized, and we're guilty of it too, because if we don't ask for help and we don't get curious, is that we're only scratching the surface.
This is Leaderful, where we give you the models and the frameworks, the strategies and the skills that you need to drive true transformation for yourself, your team, your organization, and the world. Welcome to the show. Welcome back to another episode of the Leaderful podcast. I'm here with Pablo Romero. We are the co-CEOs of the Ally Co. And today I'm really excited to actually go up a level or two and talk about the intention impact gap and to talk about human-centeredness and systems-conscious approaches to workplace culture and leadership. So Pablo, great to see you again.
Great to see you as well. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year indeed. We're recording this in early 2023. So we're all fresh from our holidays and ready to get at it. The conversation today I was hoping we could have is about intention versus impact, because a lot of our work, we find ourselves in the gap between those two things. We work with leaders and teams who really want to create positive change or transformation within their teams and for their community and their people, and impacts that sometimes are misaligned with that. Sometimes they're neutral or in the other direction. Sometimes they're negative impacts when the intention was positive. And so at a high level, that's where we do a lot of our work. And so I thought maybe we should start there. We should start with, you know, what is intention? What do we mean by impact? What happens inside of that gap? What are some of the things that we see happening inside of that gap? So maybe I'll turn it over to you to start, and you can kind of start with any of those and maybe just offer some definitions or some thinking on each of those.
I mean, a lot of this came from discussions with leaders and their teams around where there was misalignment or tension or conflict. And what we started to realize early on was it was the leaders we were meeting with had, you know, we call them the best of intentions, or they were well-intentioned. They really were thinking about positively impacting their employees or the people in their lives. And we realized a lot of the times that they were confused, frustrated, hurt, you know, when it came to capturing feedback on some of the initiatives they had rolled out or announced, communicated. And, you know, so you're talking about a lot of energy, effort, budget, time. And so there was this gap that we identified. And so I'll start with intentions. You know, intentions are our hopes. You know, if I'm a leader and I have an intention, I have a hope, or I'm aspirational. Maybe I'm also fearful. And so I'm making decisions that I think will positively impact not only myself, but the people that I'm working with. Could include clients as well. And so, you know, those aspirations, those hopes, those dreams, those goals, you know, as well-intentioned or as like beautifully sounding as they can be, need to also align with the actual desired impact of those intentions, right? And so there's one thing I'll just say there. That impact that you're desiring to have as a leader, does it really matter? You know, is that the most meaningful impact you can have? So that's probably something you might want to verify, validate, and check. But also, is the desired impact that you have in mind, are you going to be able to achieve it if you have validated it, you know, for example? So I'll stop there, but that's kind of like it's almost in design thinking, a lot of times we see people describe this desired future state, like leaders and organizations that they want to achieve, which they haven't validated if everybody aligns with or connects with. But then they do that without truly understanding the current state to build off of.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, you mentioned hopes and fears, and that's typically where I go with intentions, is that those intentions, those things that we want to create in the world, or the experience we want people to have, or our own experience, is really driven by one of those two things, right? We call it at risk and at stake, right? And the intention sometimes when we're at risk is to alleviate the fear that we've got about something. You know, it might be burnout in our organizations, and it might be employee like quiet quitting or resignations or attrition, like all the things that are kind of on the front page of our LinkedIn newsfeed most of the time. Those are driving our efforts, right? And we're setting intentions to, like you said, positively impact that or protect ourselves or the organization. And you're right. I think that the gap exists in large part due to misalignment between what the leader's perception of what's meaningful or important is and the employees, right? Or the organization and the community or the clients that they serve, those types of things, those misalignments, I think, in perspective, really drive a lot of that gap. And inside of that gap, we see all kinds of problems emerge. And we've identified six in our transformational impact model, things like chronic burnout and psychological distress and cultural disconnection, unhealthy conflict or tension, those types of things manifest inside of that gap where there is that misalignment between what I think is important as a leader and your lived experience, right? And we see this all the time. And actually, you know, it wasn't that long ago, I was talking to a leader who had put a bunch of money into wellness in the organization and well-being, and it wasn't received that way by a lot of the team. They were still talking about how burnt out they were. And she was frustrated because she had put, like you said, time and budget and all of this stuff into it. And there was just a fundamental misalignment between understanding like what's actually driving this lack of wellness or this lack of well-being or the stress in the organization. And then what should we do about it? That wasn't a co-created process. There wasn't input from the people who were, you know, actually being impacted by it. And so there's some key distinctions in there, I think, that we should unpack today about how do we close that gap, right? Because no leader, I've been there, you've been there, where we have these good intentions and these misaligned impacts doesn't feel great, right? And doesn't get us closer to our goals. And so what's a first or, you know, first couple steps in that direction of closing that gap or aligning teams around what's most important or what's most meaningful?
Yeah, I mean, we talk about getting curious, right? With compassion. We talk about, you know, we have this, what we call our model for the 5 D's of meaningful work, which are inspired by, you know, agile human-centered design methodologies. But, you know, the crux of it is, you know, start to collect the dots, if you will, before you start to connect them and direct people, right? I think you use, I can't remember if it's your term or someone else's, but connect before you direct. Discovery work. Research, you know, getting curious. I think that's the first step. And I think a lot of the time we make the assumption as leaders that we do it once and then we know everything. And that's not the case. Here's an example. We're working right now with an executive leadership team where half of the team has been there for over 10 years and the other half are either, you know, in that position, have been with the organization, but are new to that position. In fact, actually, all of them are in new positions. They've been, the structure has increased, and so new levels of power have opened up. And what we realize is you can come in as leaders and make these changes. Say we're going to do things this way because we care about this. But without realizing the legacy of that culture and what people have been used to, you know, your intention is to create this change, but you haven't brought people along on that journey. You haven't built the trust or showed them the strategy you have for transforming this tradition, this culture you used to have. And so I think the discovery work by doing that meaningfully allows you to co-create, like you were saying, and bring along the people you're trying to impact through that journey so they can see the reason for that change, the authenticity of that change, to help you change, right? And realize the power that you sit in. I guess that's why we say this type of work, all roads lead to power and leadership. So just to tie it back to your question, what can you start to do? I think always look at, have I done enough discovery? You know, in order to make informed decisions, in order to ensure that we all have the same definition or articulation of the problems. We call them problems, but they're really meaningful opportunities, so that we can then move into designing meaningful work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a really important piece and something that I've been guilty of as a leader of thinking, just running with my assumptions, right? And the discovery process is really about checking our assumptions and holding them or setting them aside long enough to be curious, like you said, compassionately curious about what's the actual experience here of the people that are impacted most by my leadership or my power. So discovery, hugely important. I also think that there's something around intentions. Intentions get a little bit of a bad rap sometimes, whereas people, you know, there's especially in the accountability space, when we're talking about accountability, there's this kind of mantra that I've heard before, and I've probably said it myself before, whereas like intentions don't actually matter, it's your impact that matters. You know, that's a bit of a right use of power framing. But I think actually intentions are really important, but they're important on the front end, not so much on the back end, right? It's one like leaders, and I'm again guilty, probably as charged, hiding behind good intentions. You know, your impact goes sideways and you say, oh, well, that wasn't what we hoped would happen. That wasn't what we expected or anticipated or blah, like whatever, but we try and kind of use it as a way to get out of accountability. And that's an inappropriate use of intentions. But on the front end, say, here's what I'm actually hoping for. Here's what I'm actually afraid of. We do a hopes and fears exercise with every team on the, when we kick off an engagement with them, because those things are very real, right? And they're driving behavior. They're driving choices and decisions. And too often they're beneath the surface. Too often they are things that only come out, you know, on reflection. And we usually don't create enough space and time for that reflection. I know I'm guilty of that, not knowing what I actually am afraid of or I'm hoping for in this relationship or in this moment or with this project. And so I would say that that piece of really connecting to your intentions and being transparent with those intentions, those hopes and fears, is a great first step for a lot of leaders, at least at the leadership level, to be aligned internally about what they're hoping for and what might be getting in the way.
Yeah, I think about the multiverse because I love comics. But you know, in one you know world, which we see a lot of, it's this. Oh, that's how you felt, or that's what you experienced. Oh, that totally wasn't my intention. My intention was this. It's like, okay, well, that's happened here at the end. Now what? You know, you can still move from there. But imagine there's another world where up front, like you were saying, we've been very clear about our intentions and why this matters. And we can actually start to capture specific and meaningful feedback, you know, around those intentions and make sure everybody understands. And then as we are going through the campaign, the initiative, the project, we can capture feedback to say, hey, are we still moving forward with this? So that we don't have to wait for, you know, what a typical project, 3 to 6 months, or even longer, mm-hmm. you know, to figure all that out, that we've missed the mark, right? Or that we've completed a project that is no longer meaningful. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think to your point, getting very clear about the intention, I think that's part of it, but also to validate the impact. I think a lot of the time leaders believe or assume they know the real problem, and what we've realized, and we're guilty of it too, because if we don't ask for help and we don't get curious, is that we're only scratching the surface.
Okay, if at this point in the conversation you're thinking to yourself, I'm a leader, I have a team, and I'm worried that I only might be scratching the surface, or I might have an incomplete understanding of what the true needs are of my team, and you're thinking, how do I go about getting some help with this? Well, the first thing to do is to reach out, and the second thing to do is to check out our community culture survey, which is launching actually this week, the same week as the podcast is released. So if you're listening to this on time, you can check that out. It's a community engagement that we're doing with our broader AllyCo community to collect some data and go through a bit of a mock process. We're going to talk about it a little bit more at the end of this podcast, but there are ways that you can reach out and get yourself engaged in learning more about the discovery process. And of course, we always love to chat about this anytime. Okay, here's back to Pablo talking about leaders getting a better and deeper understanding of what's really going on with their team.
And we hear this a lot. This is why it's important. This work is time. Like a lot of leaders, especially if, you know, it's year end or you're kicking off the new year and you're fighting for budget, or you're excited because you have all these aspirations, a lot of the time leaders will take shortcuts. We all do it, right? Our brain does it for us, right? In order to allow us to function in productive ways. But those shortcuts can end up, you know, biting us in the butt later. So I guess my point is, what I'm trying to get to is, the intention is great, but that intention, the value of it, should really be validated or authenticated through meaningful discussions, right? Because not all problems or opportunities are equal.
And what's important from your position as a leader might not, and likely isn't, important to the people that you support or the people that are on the team. There's a lot often even subtle misalignments there can play themselves out into some of those problems that we've identified, some of those chronic burnout problems and those unhealthy tension and the stuckness, deep stuckness. And I think that that's something that, you know, all of us probably are feeling at some point or have felt at some point, is this sense of working really hard, right, doing lots of things, spending lots of time and energy, and not meaningfully moving the needle on important things, important projects or challenges or issues, for sure.
Yeah, I'd also add, like, I think what's missing out there, and I think, well, I believe is what is an opportunity we see, and we're trying to close with the work we do with our clients, is that systems level consciousness that we talk about. You know, you have to remember, you know, as a leader, we, you know, it's hard for sometimes for us to have empathy for our leaders, right? But they have a board they report to, they have investors they report to, maybe a mayor, or, you know, there's other levels of power that they're trying to manage those relationships as well. And so I think a lot of the times when we talk about discovery work, we see it done in silos, you know, employee engagement, without the context of stakeholders or other influential positions of power, right? And so I think that's the value we see when we talk about being systems conscious, is yes, maybe this project is to impact employees, but how does the system support that or value that? Mm-hmm. Right? We've seen it, right?
That's a great point, because I see a lot of data collection happening. And like you said, employee engagement or employee satisfaction, or, you know, we've got lots of information, but we haven't translated that into practical knowledge or wisdom about what to do next. What actions are we going to take? You know, it's easy to see there's tons of data out there that says the workforce is burning out at rates we've never seen before. And there's not a lot of data around, like, well, what do we do about that, right? Besides throw some Band-Aid kind of solutions at it, as opposed to looking at more deeply, how is this rooted in maybe the organizational structure that we have, or the incentives that we've built around how people do their work, or the cultural norms and values that have been established that haven't really been questioned. They've just become kind of the operating system. That step from identifying that there's a gap there to really using discovery as a vehicle for what next, what can we actually do about this? And from whose perspective do we have, who are we missing in this process? Sometimes that emerges. It's like, oh, actually, I have no idea. You know, we'll often ask leaders that $1 billion question from my pal Steve DeGroote around, you know, what do we know about this from their perspective? And oftentimes it's like, actually, I don't know anything. I know when I ask myself that question, what do I know about this from their perspective? It's like, I haven't asked that question yet. I haven't been curious. And so that's a prompt for us to dig into that gap with a bit more curiosity. You talked a little bit about systems consciousness, which is looking at the power structures and making sure that we capture a more complete view of that system. But I know your background is in design thinking, or you've got a background along with other things in design thinking, and that's very human-centered, you know, kind of approach. But maybe dig into human-centeredness and how does that play itself out in this type of work?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of our differentiators, or maybe it's complement to the existing frameworks, models, within the domain of, let's call it, leadership and culture in the workplace, is a lot of those are, like we talked about, quite siloed, you know, about employees. And even there, like, what about contractors? We have a lot of clients that would not maybe get feedback from certain people that they directly impact or who directly impact them, right? So I think, you know, at that systems level, that's something that differentiates us. But then I think we go, you know, when we talk about scratching the surface, people talk about engagement, job satisfaction. There's a few others in that space. We find that a lot of the discussions that are happening are at the surface level or symptomatic level. And what we wanted to do, and what we realized through our work, was actually there were more deeply rooted cultural, if you will, or core value issues that were happening that were leading to these symptoms. And so if we just address the symptom, well, it'll show up in some other way as the world changes, right? And so that's a great example. We've seen a lot of organizations revisit their values, and it's not that they need to change their core values, but their core values, the do's and don'ts of them, might look different today than they did 50 years ago. In fact, I'm sure they do, right? Even a year or two or pre-pandemic, right? And so that work has to consistently be done to articulate, define, and establish connection at the individual level. Like, I, Pablo Romero, have my own personal values, core values. how do I align with the organizations? What are the do's and don'ts? And is that shared understanding? Mm-hmm. I see my leaders doing that. Then there's our team. You know, if you are in an organization that espouses autonomy, doesn't mean that every, and we see subcultures and those are great, but there still needs to be alignment and connection to the greater direction and the core values. And so I personally don't think there's a lot of work being done to go to those deeper levels, and that's what we're trying to do. And so I would say that's the big differentiator, is that relational, deeper rooted, you know, conversations to get to those things. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that the, when I think about the evolution of our own models and frameworks around workplace culture and experience, we've landed on 6 different indicators of workplace function or health, you know, the, that psychological safety piece or that burnout piece. And, but within that, like what's actually driving that is power, right? The right use of power and ethical leadership, which is leadership that's aligned with values, right? Which is seeking out to close that intention impact gap and to be really, you know, intentional about that. And you're right. There's so much discussion and noise and activity around the symptom level. You know, a lot of like, how do we address burnout, as I mentioned before, or psychological safety, as if it's its own thing that kind of stands alone, that we can just throw some stuff at psychological safety without recognizing that actually that's fundamentally rooted in how we structure our organization, how we define roles and responsibilities, how we distribute decision-making authority. Like there's a systematic piece that contributes to those. I think too often we rush to the individualization of that thing. It's like, oh, Pablo's burnt out or Pablo's not feeling safe, so we need to do something there, as opposed to back it up a little bit and say, yeah, that's important. That human-centeredness is important. We want to know about Pablo's experience. And there are some various system-driven things, factors that contribute to that, right? And to hold both of those things and to address both of those gets us further along. We make more meaningful impact. Speaking of intention impact, right? When we're able to hold the intention as practitioners, so you and I, when we go into a system to be able to hold that bigger picture, and not get drawn into the loudest or the noisiest or the most recent or whatever, you know, is kind of clamoring for attention in that moment, to be able to hold all of those things and see how interconnected they are, I think really helps teams and leaders make some of those shifts in how they work together and how they define the work they do. And you said core values, absolutely a core piece of that. So yeah, that's where my head's at anyway, is kind of that ability to step back and hold the bigger picture when you do the work.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, in our journey, we go through the intention versus impact gap, you know, all the time, especially with our offerings. And you know, I think one thing we realized was, so we some of you might know, we have a series of impact surveys to help us get in and assess the health and current state impact of some of the indicators Jeff mentioned, and the drivers of power and right use of power and ethical leadership. What's been a great exercise to really cultivate awareness and skill through the process as well, and to identify if people are actual leaders, especially, are willing to do the work, right, to transform, to change, has been to collect the feedback, right, in the form of, you know, rating systems, open commenting, and to see how each leader or individual interprets that data, right? How do they infer, make decisions, assumptions, and so forth? And I think it's been a powerful exercise for us to raise awareness around people's power. You know, what is ethical leadership? Are people operationalizing their power and leadership through conscious communication? So, you know, what we've realized, I think, ourselves, is we can't try to bring people down to these root problems, like say start here. We have to start with what they're feeling and seeing right now, and to ask really better questions to bring them along that journey of, oh, right, that actually, if we start talking about things here and identify things here, all of a sudden that thing and that thing and that thing go away. Mm-hmm. So we didn't have to launch 3 projects, you know? So I'm oversimplifying here.
No, but I think it's a hugely important point, and the approach that we take to tackling these opportunities or the gap, like what exists in the gap there. And as consultants, we've had to change our approach. And I've been guilty of this in the past, where coming in and the goal is to make recommendations, right? But that those recommendations are inherently biased and flawed in that this is what I've deemed important. These are the assumptions that I'm bringing to the table. This is my skill set. And so if I make this recommendation, then maybe I'll get hired to do this work with this team downstream, right? There's all of that. Those incentives are misaligned with fundamentally understanding the problem as clearly as we possibly can. And so that's been a shift for us is, like you said, guiding teams and leaders through a process, so more process facilitation to get us to a place of shared understanding and congruence. Because I've been at the table before where the recommendations land, half the table throws them out right off the bat because they don't align with their perspective, and we haven't created the space for them to share that perspective in an open and honest and vulnerable kind of way. And so you're right, you know, our intention as consultants, what is that intention, and is that the impact that we're having, right? Our intention is to get to a place of shared understanding through discovery so that we're all in agreement and aligned on what's the biggest opportunity here, or the most important, most meaningful opportunity for our organization. And that demands a different approach. So it's been an interesting journey for us. As you said, we're always navigating that intention impact gap as like through our work, but in relationship as well. And so what ends up happening for us is that, yes, the work we do is in the workplace and the work culture world, but the spillover impact into our personal lives and our relationships is profound as well, because the intention impact gap exists all over the place. We're both fathers. I can point to decisions and things that have happened in the last day or two. It's like, oh, that impact that I had was misaligned with that intention. And so I think it's something that I know I'm always trying to be more conscious of and more mindful about in my practice and in the different roles that I carry. And I know that you live that as well. So yeah, hopefully the listeners got some value out of this conversation. And if anything, that compassionate curiosity, collect the dots before we start to connect the dots. I think that's really important. That connection before direction is something that we talk about a lot here. And that's really what helps us close that intention impact gap, right? Is that ability to sit in that gap and sit in that space and get the feedback that we might be misaligned and slow it down a little bit and kind of focus and get to a place of shared understanding, I think is really important. So any final thoughts or
wondering? Yeah, I'd say for anybody listening right now who is in a position of power to, you know, make decisions, allocate budget, assign roles to prioritize work to people, is to really I'll have to check if we have it online. If not, we'll put it up on our website. But Jeff mentioned this, I use it as a guide or a tool, but it's the at risk versus at stake spectrum. And it doesn't mean that we sit in like one place all the time. It's very contextual. And so my recommendation is to frame the problem you've identified as being something you want to focus on for your team or your workplace, and to really, you know, look at when you think of the decisions you've made or are going to make, where are you sitting in that spectrum? Because what I have a feeling or what I sense is that a lot of us, especially in leadership positions, especially if we're in a new leadership position in a new organization, is we feel this anxiety or this risk of having to do something quickly or having to prove our experience and our knowledge. But even just coming out of the holidays, things have changed in your people's lives, right? So my challenge would be like, check those decisions you're going to make and find out, are you making them from more of an at-risk or an at-stake perspective? And even if you feel you're at an at-stake perspective, I would say slow down and invest in the discovery work, if anything. And discovery work doesn't have to be, it could be low fidelity, right? Because what if in that, you know, very low, lean, agile fidelity or low fidelity discovery, you see a signal that actually shows you that, hey, we actually might have another opportunity that's more important, or oof, I might be off. Mm-hmm. I think it's worth it.
We can save ourselves that time and energy and the pain that exists in that intention impact gap. You know, eventually we figure it out, or we tend to figure it out eventually. And when we accelerate that process and make it smoother, I think that that's a worthwhile goal for all of us. So awesome. Great to connect as always. And as we head out or sign off for this episode, why don't you let us know about the community culture survey? Because we're launching a fun experiment with our community, and listeners would be welcome to participate in that. What is it that we're doing over the next couple of weeks or month or so, and how can people kind of jump in and contribute or find out more?
Yeah, well, maybe we'll use the intention and impact gap as a guide. So the intention of running this experiment with our community and friends of friends, that we want to open this up and capture as much data as we can, is to shed some insight, provide an immersive experience into a core discovery activity that we typically start with, which is a survey. It's more than a survey, obviously. It's about like, what are we asking questions about measuring, how are we asking those questions, and then what are we doing with that data? And so we are going to be putting out a link either early next week or the end of this week, that people will be able to access for about a week's time. We'll probably send out those notifications or announcements through our newsletter or LinkedIn. I might be forgetting another channel, but
that probably covers the bases mostly. Yeah.
Those are the big ones. And we'll invite our community members or anybody to participate in the survey. It'll basically follow our transformational impact model, which is on our website if you want to learn more about. But really, those 6 to 8 areas, drivers, and indicators of what we call transformational leadership and culture. Okay, so it'll be 2 sections. One section will be basically scoring statements or responding to statements from 1 to 5. It's a Likert rating scale, and then each section will have open commenting, and that's where we love to do a little bit of like we're trying to improve in the areas of sentiment analysis, text analytics. So the more people can tell us in those sections, the more rich that story is, and the more curious, like the better questions we can ask about it. And then there'll be at the end, which I think is super exciting, and we're seeing a lot of clients love this, what we call employee group. It's an optional employee group questionnaire. And what that allows us to do is dive into the different groups that we've included here. And we'll acknowledge it's not a full list. And so for anybody going through that, we'd love your feedback. And it's fully optional. You can answer some, none, all. But that just allows us to look at data through the lens of different people and groups. And I don't know how deep we'll get, knowing this is a community project, but you'll get some insight into like what we possibly do with our clients, how we move from discovery, the types of activities within discovery, to getting us to define problems. And within that definition of problems, it's like categorization, sense making, and sorry, I can't remember if I said prioritizing, but looking at the different types of problems. And then I don't know if we'll get to do this together, but you'll at least get an idea of how we then take that information to design meaningful projects. So that's the goal. And then obviously after design is delivery, debrief, it's this iterative cycle, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Awesome. That's great. And people can contribute or participate in lots of different ways. So there's the filling out the survey itself or sharing with, like you said, friends of friends. There's also our learning and action sessions coming up over the month, kind of last one in January. And I think through into February are going to be dedicated to the exploration of some of the data. And like you said, walking through some of those discovery and definition processes so that people can get hands-on with it, right? Because some of this, you know, is kind of abstract and theoretical. It's like, yeah, do discovery, do definition, do design. But what does that actually look like in practice? And our hope is to walk through some of the actual activities and exercises that we do with clients. And so if you're a people and culture leader, or if you're responsible for, you know, doing this work in your organization, and like you said, resourcing or making decisions, that you have some tools in your toolkit that you can deploy and a better sense of what the work with us kind of looks like. So yeah, really excited to dig in and see what's there for our community and be compassionately curious with all the folks that bless us with their time and energy and attention as they listen to our podcasts and engage in our community. So, awesome.
Yeah, I mean, the other impact we'd love to have is almost like the current state of our human-centered and systems-conscious community, right? So that's actually another, we'd love for people to answer the survey reflecting on their current employment or most recent employment. Mm-hmm. And so it'll be cool because it'll give us data in terms of our collective, our, you know, big we community, if you will. And who knows, maybe that starts to create connections and to, but actually it will help us to inform what should we be talking about, because a lot of us are experiencing this right now.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, until the next time we sit down to chat leaderful things and human-centered systems consciousness, thank you for listening. And jump in and contribute to the community culture survey if that grabs you. And otherwise, we'll see you next week. Leaderful is brought to you by The Ally Co., a team of human-centered, systems-conscious consultants, coaches, and facilitators dedicated to helping you and your team tackle the core problems of burnout and stuckness and misalignment and misuses of power and all of the things that get in the way of creating truly human-centered workplaces where everyone thrives and does their best work. Head over to www.theallyco.world to learn more.